We're moving through the section of chapters 12 through 14. It's a section on spiritual gifts. I don't know about you, but I have really appreciated the way that Paul unpacks this section. He's so very, very gentle. Carl and I were talking about it 2 weeks ago. It's amazing how Paul builds the teaching, and he takes us just very gently. You know, this group that he's obviously upset with by the questions that they're asking, by the activities that are going on in this church. But rather than just punch them in the face, he slowly brings them through a teaching in a very loving way, in a very methodical, step-by-step way. And so I've really appreciated this section as much as I've appreciated the entire letter. He starts in chapter 12. This is basically a three-chapter exposition for him on spiritual gifts. And he begins by identifying for them that he wants them to be aware. And as we can understand, he wants us to be aware as Christians, as believers, to this subject matter of spiritual gifts. It's an area where a lot of people get into really big fights. There's a lot of division in the church that comes from this area. So it's something we should be very aware of. We should be informed. We should know where we stand. We should know what things we should stand on and which things we should let go. So he says he wants them to be informed. Second, he then reminds them that not all movement, not all leading, you know, not all of the alleged gifting is of the Lord. He reminds them, he says, when you were still in the world as pagans, remember as you were being brought to those lifeless, mute gods, there was something moving inside. There was a leading that you experienced, and he wants them to understand, you truly experienced that. You know what I'm talking about. And you weren't a believer. You weren't saved. It wasn't the Spirit of God. So what was it? It was something else. And so he starts with this idea. I want you to be informed. Two, I want you to be informed that there is a movement, there is a leading that's not of the Lord. And he moves into the third part, which it says, so you're going to need to discern between those things that are of the Spirit of God and those things that are not of the Spirit of God. How do you discern? He gives us very early on in the teaching a really easy discriminator. If it is of the Spirit, Jesus is Lord will be the theme. Jesus will be the focus. If it's truly the Spirit of God working, then our eyes are going to be drawn to Christ. We're going to be brought to the Savior because that's the Spirit's job. That's what he wants us. He wants our eyes on him. If it's not of the Spirit, our eyes are going to be what? Drawn away from Christ. Jesus is accursed will prevail. It means the focus is on ourselves. The focus is away from Christ. What we saw in the Corinthian church is quite frequently, they were focused on the gift. And sometimes they were celebrating the gifted. But you see what that does is it takes your eyes off the right spot. The purpose of the gifts are to take our eyes to the gifter, the one who is giving gifts, the one who is wanting things to take place in his church, the one who is orchestrating, arranging, the composer. Last week we came to understand that all believers, every single one of you that's a believer, has been gifted, perfectly gifted by God. Jonathan Edwards uses the term divine enablements. That's forever, the rest of my life I'm using that term. I love it. Divine enablements. Varieties of gifts with the same Spirit. Varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. Varieties of activities. You know, that word that we pulled out, it's not just activities, it's the enabling energy. It's the scope of extent. The same God. You start to see this, and we talked about it last week, that it's like fingerprints. Each one of us is uniquely gifted. And sometimes we have gifts that are really strong in one season that aren't so strong in another season. The Lord gives us these gifts for specific ministries, for specific services, for specific times, and for specific places, for specific purposes, all in his plan, by his will. It's glorious. These gifts, ministries, activities, the words we used last week are gifted by God, composed by God, empowered by God, apportioned by God, arranged by God, and appointed by God. All from chapter 12. Some have the same gifts, but different ministries. and unique enablements within those ministries. Sometimes we have people with different gifts working in the same ministries with different levels of empowerment. And you start to see that every one of us brings something different. But what's not different is that all come from God. All are working together for His purposes. All of these divine enablements, all of these spiritual gifts are used to build the body and to glorify God. All of this is part of His will. That's the section that we just left. We can see from Paul's teaching then how crazy their situation is, how odd their questions are. If they had understood this, think of these things, what they were asked. What is the best gift? Should we celebrate the loud, visible gifts? Should we belittle and push aside the quiet, less visible gifts? When Paul looks in at this church and there's factions and some of the people have envy, some of the people have pride, some of the people walk around dissatisfied. God didn't give me any of the good gifts. He gave me all the cruddy gifts. And all of the people were consumed with wanting the best gift, which they thought was tongues. When we start to understand this teaching that Paul has outlaid for us, none of that makes sense. If these gifts are coming from the Lord, they're empowered by Him, and they're all about His timing and His enablement, His arranging, His composition, there's not much place for us to have pride. In fact, what we should do is actually just be thankful every time He uses us in a quiet, invisible way or in a loud, you know, very, very up in front way. Sometimes it's a long, sustained, hard working time. Sometimes it's a short word in season. But when we start to see that all of those things come from His hand, by His timing, in His power, for His purposes, for His church, we kind of give them up, don't we? We don't hold on to them so tightly. We don't consider them to be mine, my gift. And we stop looking for, what is my gift? Why do I want to know what my gift is so I know what things I don't have to do? Why do I want to know what my gift is so I can be proud of my gift, so I can hone my gift, so I can train myself in my gift? Really? When God needs that gift to be used, He'll train you, He'll equip you, He'll empower you, He will use it the way He wants it used in you for that purpose, in that time, for that person, by His will, for His glory, not yours. It's beautiful. We start to see, wow. So let's come and open up God's word and we'll go on from where we left off last week. I'm going to read through all of chapter 12 so you get the full context. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. All were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would be the body? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. Great section of Scripture. We left off last week at verse 7. Let's remind ourselves of verse 7 once more. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To each. Remember the message from last week? Every single one of you. Each one has been given gifts. And what are they? They're the manifestation of the Spirit. What does that word mean, manifestation? It's the evidence of. It's the visible, recognizable proof of the Spirit at work in your life and in the life of the church. Do you see that? That's what these manifestable gifts are. This manifestation, it's evidence that God is working. And he's given it to every single one of you. For what? For your own personal edification? So that you can take pride in yourself? You can feel good about yourself? No, that's not at all. He allows you to see the working of God in the church so that we would be unified, so that he can build up the church, so that we can see that this is his church. These are his gifts. These are his people, that we can be brought together. Building up of the church. So everyone has gifts. Service to perform. Ministries appointed by the Lord. Opportunity and enabling by God. All for his purposes, in his will, for the common good, which is the church. All different. Some are big and visible. Some are small and quiet. And last week I left you with a question to ask yourself as you left here. Remember the question? What has God enabled me, called me, empowered me to do in this church? And I said, if that's too hard of a question, then ask this question. How can I serve others in this church? Right? Maybe that's an easier question to ask. How can I help build the body here? Right? If you start asking those questions, how can I help build the body? Guess what? You're not going to have to go find your gift. Your gift will find you, in a sense. Instead of your focus being on what is it that God gave me, our focus should be on what is it that you need? What is it that the church needs? And as the Lord brings to your heart, brings to your mind those areas of service, those areas, those people into your life that need a word of encouragement, those folks that are a little off track, that need a little teaching, those people that need to be challenged to move forward, those folks that need to be goaded, those folks that need to be pulled, those folks that need to be comforted. Guess what? As your eyes are open to them and you see them, just watch God work in your life. Watch the gifts emerge. Wow, I never knew that I could give a word in season. Wow, I never knew that I could encourage. Isn't it amazing how I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time remembering scripture verses. I always have to go to my Bible and open it up. I'm not someone who just has instant recall. But what's amazing is the one place where I do is in counseling. There's those moments where I'm with somebody and they're in need of a word, and I just don't have it yet. All of a sudden, it's there. Have you experienced that before? That's the Lord divinely enabling you to minister to the body. And it's glorious, isn't it? It's quiet. It's one-on-one. It's not huge. But in that moment, there's evidence. There's proof in your life that God is working. That's what's beautiful about this whole section of giftedness. It's not a place to fight. It's a place to rejoice. It's a place to look for the Lord. So it's not what is my gift. The question that we're asking is, what is their need? That'll help you. We're given spiritual gifts for the common good, for the building up of the church. Once we get that, all of a sudden verse 8 makes sense. We come to verse 8, and what's the first word? For. Right? And what he's saying is, for example. He's about to give you examples of the giftings. For example. Look at verses 8 to 10. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. Do you see what he's saying? Each one of you has something different. Something unique. Something special. There's going to be times and seasons when these things are going to emerge. And he's giving examples. And what are they? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. So many people get into these and they start giving you definitions of what each of these gifts are. I challenge them from Scripture to define what they say. As you go through Scripture, you're not going to find these spelled out and defined very, very clearly. There's a lot of ideas and propositions that are put forward. Some of these are a little more clear than others, but it's hard to define these. And what I've seen happen with people is they look and they go, oh, well, I'm trying to define my gift into this lane. Don't do that. It's like a fingerprint. It's a little of this, it's a little of that, it's more of this, and it's some of that. You have a unique fingerprint of gifting that God will use in his timing to build up his church. Why did Paul use these? It could have been the subject matter of the letter they sent him, right? These could be the predominant gifts that were taking place in Corinth. So he says, I'm going to use those as my examples. Could just be the ones that rolled off his mind. Could be the ones that everyone gets hung up on. Right? It may be the ones that everyone always fights about. We don't know. But what we do know is that that's not his point. His point right here isn't for you to start defining these gifts. His point that's been made all the way through chapter 12 is you all have various kinds of gifts. For example, some of these. That's what I want you to see in chapter 12. They aren't explained. They're not described. They're not prioritized. You can't know exactly what each of one of these are. We weren't there. I can guarantee you each one of you has been gifted in some very unique ways that would be really hard to articulate. I spoke of one last week, comforting a woman who'd lost her husband, and the woman came in there and put her forehead to the other forehead, and in that touch without words, the Spirit worked. Comfort. Which category does that fall into? Paul's point here isn't for us to start defining these gifts. His point is that everyone has them. Everyone has the gifts. All gifts come from God. All gifts are for the body and not for the member. There's none that are greater. There's none that are lesser. For to one is given this gift, and to another that 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 gift. Why are you fighting over who's got the better gifts? Why are you belittling those people with the quiet gifts? Why are you celebrating those people with the big, loud gifts? Stop it. Every one of you has these wonderful gifts, and they're meant to build us up, not tear us apart. That's his point. And he makes it, right, with an exclamation point in verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. That's his point. Everyone has them. They're empowered by God. They're apportioned by God. They're composed by God. They're used by God. Stop taking ownership of them. Rejoice when you see them used. All of us should rejoice when we see them used. Look for a moment at the other places where gifts are mentioned. Turn with me back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 3. Listen to the words surrounding this area of giftedness. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, look at this verse, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us. Let us use them. Look at this list. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. You see what he's saying there? Is that a comprehensive list? Nope, it's just another list of examples, isn't it? It's just another place where he says, each of you are individual members of one body. Each of you have been given different gifts. Each of us are supposed to be using those gifts in order to build the body. Some of the gifts, for example, are... And he gives them. It's a similar list. There's some overlap. But what he accompanies that list in Romans with is this. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. You should think of yourself with sober judgment. Each one is gifted as God assigned. Everyone has gifts that differ. The idea of diversity in our unity. Go with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Another place where we find gifts. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. You start to see the same thing here, right? Here he's talking about the ministries, not just the gifts, right? The gifts that are a variety of gifts. There's a variety of ministries. There's a variety of empowerments. Here he's talking about the variety of ministries. And look at what he says in this variety. Some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, some are shepherds, some are teachers. Again, it's just a list. But what are all those for? It's to equip the saints for ministry. It's to build up the body. They're given to build up the body of Christ. They're given so that we might have a unity of the faith. That we might come to the same knowledge of God. And look at the same use of the body, right? Verse 16, the body, each part working properly in the way each part was equipped to grow, builds it up in love. Same picture again. Same point's being made, isn't it? Last one, 1 Peter 4. Turn with me to 1 Peter 4. Peter doesn't get very specific. He kind of groups it in two major camps of gifts. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11. Look how he starts it. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. I stop there for a second because I want you to see something. This word that he uses, keep loving each other with earnest. You know what that word means when you pull it out in the Greek? It means to work hard, to struggle upon in order to win, in order to overcome, in order to obtain, in order to rightly obtain. It means here's where you should put your fight. Here's where you should struggle. What was the thing that was going on in Corinth? Everyone wanted to speak in tongues. Everyone wanted the big gifts. So everyone was trying to learn, how do I get the big gifts? I want the big gifts. How do I get it? And everyone was striving and fighting because I want those. Over here in 1 Peter, what does he say? Here's the thing to fight for. Here's the thing to seek with earnest. Love. Love's hard, folks. Love's the hard one. If you want to fight for something, fight and struggle with earnest how to love each other, how to love one another. God will equip and enable the gifts. Love's hard. Love is what you strive for. You see it? And so then when he says that, right? He says, so above all, keep loving one another earnestly, with earnest. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, right? And how many received one? Each one. Everyone has received a gift. Use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, again, we come back to this grace gifts. Whoever speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Whoever serve as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see this? Use your gifts to serve one another. If it's a speaking gift, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, teaching, prophesying, all of these words, right, which are basically what? If you're going to speak for the Lord, speak for the Lord. Don't speak in your own strength. If you're going to use one of these speaking gifts, let it be as if God is speaking to them. And if you're going to serve in these serving gifts, serve as if God is the one giving you the strength to serve. Don't make it just, oh, I'm serving in my talent. No, make it clear. Same thing. Why? In order that God is glorified through Jesus Christ, the building up of his body. So you start to see in all of these lists of the gifts through the New Testament, some of the lists are specific. Some of the lists are functional. Some of the lists talk about the ministries that the gifts enable. Some of the gifts are easier to define than others. Some of the gifts are up for debate. Not the point. Not the point he's making here. There's lots to argue about when we start to focus on the gifts. Instead, let's focus on what we know for sure. What's Paul saying in this chapter? For sure. There are many various gifts by the same Spirit, various ministries by the same Lord, various activities by the same God. All are given to build the church, to grow into Christ for God's glory in his will. That's what we know for sure. And in case you don't get it, in case you think, well, maybe Rob's off track, because I've heard a lot of other talk about these spiritual gifts. Maybe Rob's misreading Paul. I ask myself that question as I'm preparing every week, every day. What's really cool is it's kind of like what Paul does next. He says, okay, in case you still don't get it, let me open this up in a different way. And I want you to see that he's going to make his point again using a different illustration. If you didn't get it from that illustration, let me give you another one so that you really get it. Look at verses 12 to 24. Just as the body is one and has many members, he's talking about our physical body, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. He says it's just like this. Because in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, All were made to drink of the one Spirit. So, look at verse 14. The body doesn't consist of one member. When he's talking about one member, he's talking about a hand, an eye, an ear. He says, just as you think about this physical body, it's not consisting of one thing. And then look at what he says. He says that the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body. That would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. Do you see what he's saying? There was some people, he's addressing those that said, if I don't have one of the big gifts, I shouldn't even be here. Why am I even a part of this church? If I'm not speaking in tongues, right? If I'm not doing the big stuff, nobody cares about the small stuff. I want the really good gifts. And he says, that's stupid. Let me show you in the body. Does it make any sense if the foot looks at the hand and he says, okay, I'm not a hand. I guess I have no purpose. I should leave the body. He says, that's stupid. If an ear should say to the eye, I don't see, so I guess I should leave the body. He's addressing that very clearly, saying, all of you folks that think you have these dumb gifts, that somehow you got shafted because you don't have the big ones, you don't have the visible ones, somehow you think that you're less because of those. He says, I want you to look at the body. God's given us something to look at right here. And he wants you to see something. Should the foot consider itself worthless? Because it's not a hand? No. Should the ear consider itself worthless because it's not an eye? No. Look at what he says. He says, if all of the body were eyes, can you imagine that? Every member of the body was eyes. It's really hard to walk on an eye. You know, I'm a visual person. Think about that for a second. Squish. Wouldn't work. It's really hard to hear out of an eye. He wants you to see how ludicrous this is. This is actually a really fun picture. This is a picture we can share with our kids, isn't it? This is a picture that anyone can understand. It doesn't make sense for the foot to feel less than, or the eye to feel more than. Each has its function. Each has a purpose for the body. God designed it. It's magnificent. You read through this whole section. When it works as intended, we walk on the feet. We see with the eyes. We hear with the ears. We smell with the nose. Stop wanting to be something that you're not. God has designed it perfectly. He's designed it so well that everything, when it's working together, functions in this beautiful, magnificent way. And you grow, and you live, and you have your being in Him. Next section, he hits this, right? He says, stop belittling those that are different than you. That's when he says, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Right now he's addressing the other people that are in the church. Those that are the ones that are speaking in tongues. The ones that are sitting there saying, you know, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not very spiritual. You know, if you've never had a word of wisdom given to you, then I'm not even convinced you're saved. You know, if you're still sick and haven't been healed, it's because your faith isn't strong enough. Ever heard any of those? We have we not? Paul says, that's stupid. How can the hand say to the foot, you're not a hand. We have no need of you. Be gone. He takes that whole section saying, these aren't better than the other ones. They can't say, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. I love that. It says, in fact, verse 22, to the contrary, on those parts of the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, so that there would be no division. Do you see what he's saying? Look at how our Lord designs this. There's parts that seem to be weaker in the body. You know, I was thinking this through my mind, again, visual. The heart, the kidneys, the liver, lesser parts. They're not visible. They're not out there pounding nails. They're not out there marching up hills. They're not out there speaking truth. No, they're just inside. Cleaning the blood. Pumping the blood. Weaker parts. He says, look at those. Those parts that seem to be weaker, they're indispensable. Stop the kidney for a day or a week. Stop the heart for an hour. You start to see that? You start to see this picture of the body? The parts that seem to be weaker really aren't. They're indispensable to the life of the body. And then the parts that seem to be less honorable, we know what those parts are, right? Nobody wants to be them. Nobody wants to be the toenail. Nobody wants to be the lower intestine. But we need them. Don't we? We start to think about, though, those parts that seem to be less honor are what? They're given greater honor. They're treated with greater modesty. Think about it. Those parts, and we all know what those parts are when we're picturing that in our minds. And those parts, they do most of the routine and important functions, the cleansing functions of the body. And they're the parts we hide. God gives greater honor to the parts that lack it. Why? So that there be no division in the body. He brings this out, so he says, do you see how you're broken? You're breaking everything. You guys are fighting and you're having these divisions because you absolutely don't get it. The body is diverse in its unity. Every piece has a function. Every part has something that's needed. Every one of you has a role to play in this church. Some are going to be loud and in front. Some are going to be hidden and behind. Some are going to be working long hours. Some are going to be doing short spurts. Each of you is uniquely gifted to serve and to work and to build up this church in this place by God's will, by God's design, and His enabling, in His time, for His purposes. You know, as I was thinking about this, it says, there be no division. Members have the same care for one another. And it says, if one suffers, all suffer. And you know what I thought of? Have you ever had an ingrown toenail? Nobody wants to be the toenail, right? Because nobody cares about the toenail. Unless you've had one that doesn't function properly. If you've had an ingrown toenail, what happens to your life? Everything in the body exists to protect the toenail. It's all you can think about. People walk near you, you're like, whoa, careful. Everywhere you go, right? Everything you do, everything stops because the toenail isn't functioning properly. If one suffers, everyone suffers. We don't think much about the toenail until it doesn't function properly. And then we really can feel it, can't we? It stops us dead in our tracks. That's his point. One suffers, we all suffer. One's not functioning right, we all don't function right. We need every single one of you to be functioning, firing on all cylinders, so that we might grow and build one another up. He drives home the point in verse 27. You are the body of Christ and individually members of it. He takes you all the way through it, right? He's now giving you all this little side note, this really wonderful illustration about the body and hands and ears and eyes and toenails and all these different things, right? And he's giving you this picture. He says, I want you to transfer that picture now into the body of Christ so that you can understand this is what I'm talking about. This is the point I'm making. Every one of you has a function and a role. Every one of you has unique fingerprinted gifts. Every single one of you has been designed, controlled, composed, enabled, empowered, assigned, and appointed by God for specific purposes, specific services, specific activities in this church. And if any of you mess it up, we all feel it. If any of you decide, I don't have any gifts, I'm going to sit in the pew and watch God work with them. I will tell you, we need you to get involved. We need you to start asking the question, how can I serve one another? Is there someone in this church that has a need, Lord, that maybe I could help? I'm weak. I'm a baby Christian. I get angry easy. I'm not musical. I don't speak well. I'm not very hospitable. What would you have me do? He'll answer you. He will answer you, and he will give you opportunity, because you're a believer, to demonstrate the existence and the reality of our living God at work in you in this place. And it may not be what you're expecting. I find it rarely is. You are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. So stop fighting, stop belittling, stop envying, stop worrying. And look at verse 28. People have a hard time with this. It's easy. Look at what he says. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering. Look at what he's saying. Folks, look, when we built this church, when this little church plant happened, first apostles, what? They got things started. Then prophets who spoke for the God and his will in this place. Then he sent teachers to grow up the body, to strengthen and build. Then he brought miracles to validate the teaching and the prophecy. And then he brought gifts of healing and helping and administrating and various kinds of gifts. Now that you're built and now that you're functioning and now that you're well, now he's bringing in all these different gifts to keep it going. You see what he says? He goes, look, this is how God works. And you start to see there's appointments in time and there's abilities for him and there's ways in which he grows and builds the church. Then he asks the questions. So are all of you apostles? No. Are all of you prophets? No. Are all of you teachers? No. Do all of you work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? No. Do all of you speak with tongues? No. Do all of you interpret tongues? No. You almost picture Paul going, now do you get it? You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. We don't want a church full of eyes. We don't want a church full of feet. We want a church that's diverse, each one of us fulfilling the functions and roles that he's given us to fulfill. I want each one of you to be unique. Stop being wanting to be like one of the others. And then look at what he does. I love Paul. He says, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. I just picture all the people going, huh? There are higher gifts? I just thought the whole teaching said there weren't higher gifts. Now you're saying there are higher gifts. And so everyone in the whole congregation is reading this going, yeah, I want those. Sign me up. Look at what he says. Earnestly. Remember that word again, earnestly. Fight. Struggle to get the higher gifts. And the people would be going, that's for me. I want those. What can I struggle to get? What? Tell me. Teases them. I will show you a more excellent way. Give it. First Corinthians 13. That's his introduction to love. That's how he sucks you in. Next week, finally, in First Corinthians, we've come to the chapter of love. Look at how it starts. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all that I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I don't have love, I'm nothing.